things that are excellent. And the word approve there is the word to put to the test, to test something, to test by trial, to examine a metal, as we've said before, to see if it's pure gold, pure silver, to test it to see what kind it is. And it says that you and I are to be in the place that our love is growing and growing. On the one side, an increasing knowledge of the Word of God. On the other side, a growing sensitivity to be able to rightly use that knowledge, not just a whole lot of facts, but the sensitivity to put it to work. And those two things are developing, and love is growing. The banks are there to protect it, and it's just to keep growing, an ever-growing love to produce, to bring about that approving, that testing, that putting on trial, examining to judge, to see where something is, noting the differences, and giving approval of, or practice of, pinning it down the quality. Is it good or bad? Is it right or wrong? Do you see the next word? It says that as you are putting something to the test, putting things to the test that are excellent. And the word excellent there has to do with carrying something through, to carry, to separate and to carry, the two words. And it means to carry something through, to bear something, to carry it, to separate oneself from somebody, and hence to be different or to differ. And when you have the word as it's used here in verse 10, it comes in two forms or two ways. It means to test things that differ. There's two things, to be able to test things that are different, that differ. To test them, to find out where they are and what they are. And the second thing it has to do with is to things that really matter. In other words, when you test things that differ, you find the defect, you find that which is true and that which is false. And when you have tested things that differ and you find that which is good and true and right, then to put your stamp on the right and to count it as the better of the two, to test the better, to mark that which is better, is the idea. And thus you could say it this way. To test things that differ, and with a view to find out things that really matter. To test things that differ with a view to find out things that really matter. What really matters? Now, it involves evil and good, but it also involves something else, good and best. Because sometime, beloved, the good is the enemy of the best. We see something that looks good, but it isn't really the best. And we settle for that which is good when we could have had that which was best. To approve things by knowing the difference and then approving what matters, what is excellent. What is the best? To find out what is the best thing. You might want to say it something like this: abound in ripe knowledge and perceptive power, that you may apply the right test and reach the right decisions in things which present differences, moral differences, right and wrong, good and bad, good and best, that you are in abounding and growing and developing so you know the difference, to know the difference and get a hold of that which really counts. That's the idea. That's a prayer. It's a good prayer. It's God's prayer. It's what God wants you to know. Not just to be sloppy about it, but to know what is really the good. Don't let the good be the enemy of the best. And don't settle for that which is wrong, be able to discern that which is right. You'll notice in verse 10, it goes a step further. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere. Now you have another purpose beyond. Not only are you to know and prove things of the best, and to know what really matters, the next word in verse 10, a continued purpose beyond that, a continued reason, that you may be sincere. Sincere. Now, we shared that the other day somewhere. It comes from two words. It means the shining or the splendor of the sun, and the word or the verb to judge, to discern. The shining of the sun plus the word to judge. They come together. And when they come together, they form the word that you have here, the word sincere. It means judged of in sunshine. Judged of in the sunlight. It means to judge in the splendor of the sun, to stand the test of sunlight. And thus it means that which is sincere, pure, unsullied, free from spot or blemish. You might want to translate it, sincere, unadulterated, genuine, real. In fact, there's a Latin word that we have that is in the Latin, sinceros, which means without plus wax, or without plus growth, and they go together, and using Webster's, without wax, it means something without any wax. And now, wax would be something that put over a piece of wood. When they wanted to write, they would melt wax over something, and then they would take their instrument and write in the wax a note, a letter, or whatever, and the wax would bear the impression. And here it means without wax. And one of the things the Roman Empire, you might remember, the Rome was not Greek. The Greek culture was very important to the Greeks. Manhood, womanhood, certain kinds of marriages to produce the purity of the race. Their culture, their statues, their artworks were very splendid, very beautifully, very well done. When the Romans came in to take over Greece, they were not inclined to get involved in art and this type of thing. They just weren't geared that way. They weren't in that place, frame of mind. And when they did get in that frame of mind, though, they began to buy up. Now, they'd already ruined a great many artworks of the Grecian Empire when they conquered it. So when they did get interested in art and that kind of thing, they got interested and they began to buy it. One of the things they had is that art dealers that weren't very good would go and get artworks that were broken or flawed, and they would take wax and they would fill in the breaks and the flaws that were missing in the statues and artworks, and they'd fill them in with wax and fix them. So as the Roman would come to buy the work of art, it would look and it would be sold to you as genuine and perfect shape. And when they would take the artwork home, they would put it out in their villa, out in the sunlight. And when the sunlight came and the heat of the sunlight, the wax melted and ran down, and the cracks and the breaks and the flaws were all revealed by the sunlight. And that is the word sincere. It's our English word, sincere. Sincere. To be able to stand the test, the heat of the sun, the light of the sun. To be able to stand the light of the sun. And here it has to do with genuineness, and it has to do with our relationship before God, that you and I can stand the test of the sunlight. That we can go out in the sunlight, and in fact, the art dealers would go after that, and when the art dealer was selling to the Romans, he would write this word across, or the label would be put on the article that was being offered for sale. It would say sincerus, sincerus. And what would that mean? It's genuine, without wax, without wax. It's genuine, it's real, it's true, you see. It's without wax. That you and I can stand the test of the sunlight and not have all the flaws revealed in our patched up type of life. That we stand the test of the sunlight without melting away and not coming out as genuine. That you and I would stand to prove, know that which matters, and take it a step further, that you may, with the purpose, know what is good and best. Do that which matters so that you can stand the test of the sunlight. So that you've made the right choices, not the wrong choices. So that you make the right choices, that you're sincere. Sincere. You and I need to have love bubbling up inside, growing in knowledge, and on the other side a sensitivity to the knowledge, and that is coming out, and so that I can approve and put to the test and find out things that differ, and in knowing the difference, approve that which is good and real and right and put the stamp in it. The things that really count, that really matter, and approve them and choose them. Why? So that I can stand the test of the sunlight and not be found wanting, lacking, missing. Now there's another word that you have in verse 10. It says, not only sincere in our relationship to God, but we're told to be without offense, without offense. And the word without offense means not stumbling, an adjective, stumbling, and then not stumbling. If you were to say the word in the active sense of the word, it would be not causing others to stumble. It would be used of a way, a road that was level and smooth, not a whole lot of stones, pitfalls, things to trip over. It's a smooth, level road, you won't trip over it. Active, not giving, and when you now apply that to a person, giving no offense, not causing to sin. That you and I are in the sunlight, we stand without offense. That we stand there without causing others to sin. And it is now turned around in the passive way. It means not stumbling. It means personally not falling into sin. I am not to fall into sin. I am to be pure. And I am not to cause others to sin. I am not to sin. I am not to cause others to sin. I am to walk in the sunlight, guided by the banks of knowledge and judgment, in the love of God, speaking the truth in love. I'm going to move down the road, having my discernment exercised by right and wrong decisions made Monday through Sunday, always having to make decisions. We don't like decisions, but we have to make decisions. Decisions make us. If we don't make decisions, then we never grow up. We've got to make decisions, and we want to make the right kind of decisions. We want to make decisions that matter. And so the Spirit of God is telling us to be able to stand in the sunlight, to be able to be in the place that we're not causing, we are not stumbling ourselves, and neither are we causing and being a bad example or a scandal to others. To stumble either. Would you go with me to 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, and you will see the word there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, We are told in starting in verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or you drink the most simplest things of life, or whatsoever you do, so you didn't have any question it was the simple things, it says whatever you do. That's what eating and drinking means. It says you have to eat and you have to drink, you have to do them. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Not just some things. Whatever you do, eating, drinking, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Verse 32. Give none offense, no occasion of stumbling to the Jews. Don't give the Jews an excuse. Don't give the unsaved Gentiles an excuse. Don't give the Church of God an excuse. Don't you be a stumbling block to them. To the unsaved, Jew or Gentile, don't be a stumbling block to the believer. Don't be one. Be a smooth road. When they come and walk over you, as it were, there's no obstacles to hit, bump over, and trip. Be smooth. Be sincere. Be the same all the way through. A word that would translate the word sincere, and some have used it, I believe, is the word transparent. Transparent. You can see right through. Whatever you see here is the same down inside. It's the same all the way through. That's the idea. Be sincere. And to do it, while on your way back, stop with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And would you start with me in verse 3, giving no offense, no occasion of stumbling in anything. Why not? That the ministry be not blamed. That the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, verse 4, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, unhypocritical, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Approved. Approved. Give none offense in anything, but in all things approving ourselves. And it went through a whole list, and you'd have to sit and think about that list. On every occasion, on every hand, at all times, easy, hard, hop, down, didn't make any difference. Be level, be smooth, be straight. Don't give an occasion for someone to stumble over it. Would you go back with me to the book of Philippians? Philippians chapter 1. And it goes on and carries it a step further and says, being filled, it's in the perfect tense, being full, having been filled, and remaining filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now the fruits of righteousness there would be that which fruit owes its existence to righteousness. The parent is righteousness and it produces a child fruit. The righteousness is the source. It is the fruit which righteousness produces. It is the characterized fruit which is its characteristics are produced by righteousness. Fruit which owes its existence to righteousness. The fruit is the result of rightness, not wrongness. A right condition which results in a right action. And here it says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, rightness, being filled with the fruit of rightness. And that's, remember, that's a natural thing. You don't work at fruit. It becomes, it's part of the plant. Whatever the plant, the nature of the tree is, it produces the same fruit. By nature. If he lives within our heart, he produces something. And here it says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by means of, in other words, in order to get the filling with the fruit, it has to come through the channel, the doorway, and the means, the agency, is the Lord Jesus Christ. By being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. He's the avenue. He's the channel that brought us these fruits, this righteousness. And you'll notice it says, as you end verse 11, it is unto, giving you the ultimate purpose of it all, the purpose, the aim of all of this prayer, this movement. What is the whole movement, starting with the love of God and ending up with fruit? Unto the glory and praise of God. Unto the glory and the praise of God. That's the whole purpose. That when it's all done, he gets all the glory, he gets all the praise. He is the one. You might want to take it another way in closing. That, and by the way, that's the main objective, the fruit. And fruit is to glorify God. It's to point out God, not to point us out. And to recognize by the words of our mouth that God is who he is, to praise him, to honor him, to glorify him, to recognize who he is and what he does. And you may want to turn in closing to John chapter 15. You have the same idea here. John chapter 15. And if you would look with me in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear or are bearing much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. How is God the Father honored? By bearing much fruit. How do you bear much fruit? By rightness. You've got to know the difference between right and wrong, and you've got to choose the right. Choose the right will produce fruit. The fruit will honor God. Choose the wrong, it will dishonor God. Does that help you a bit with that prayer? It's a big prayer. It's a marvelous thing to think about, to be able to stand in the sunlight of God's presence and not melt. To be able to stand there because you have made the right choices that matter. You've chosen the best, the good, the right. And when the test comes, God says you stand there and you are sincere, without wax, without wax. You're genuine. You're real. And now I'll point you out to the world without the world stumbling. You'll never get rid of offenses. Everything is offensive to somebody somehow. But the kind of offense that they trip over is that's the kind that is spoken of here. The wrong kind of thing. To do right, people don't like right. That's why they crucify Christ. that you and I might honor the Father by bearing much fruit to the glory of his name, to the praise of his glory. Perhaps you'd have a particular request you'd like to take to prayer. I would remind you as you do that, just a thought, that I know sometime we have unspoken requests, and I'd like you to rethink that sometime. I know you have them, but if you think how silly it is to say an unspoken request. What do we do with an unspoken request? I don't know what to do with an unspoken request. I say what I think the request is.